Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bunty, welcome back. And welcome back to our listeners as well. This is the second episode we are doing this Sunday, January 21st. So just to jump into it right away, a couple of days ago there was this article, I think yesterday or maybe day before, all over the press. So I'm just picking up one from Scroll. Darwin is scientifically wrong, says Minister Satyapal Singh. BJP leader Ram Madhav supports him. Now, what's happened is that this guy, Satyapal Singh, he's a Minister of State for Human Resource Development. He's also a former Indian Police Service officer. There was some kind of, Hindu nationalist thing, All India Vedic Sammelan in Maharashtra. And there he basically said Darwin is quote-unquote scientifically wrong, and therefore the theory of evolution should be dropped from school and college curricula. And his rationale for this is, quote-unquote, since the man is seen on earth, he has always been a man, he told reporters on Friday in Aurangabad. Open quotes again, nobody, including our ancestors, in written or oral, have said they saw an ape turning into a man. So, now, I mean, it is what it is. The responses are obvious. There have been a couple of very funny responses I want to, just mention that I think there's a journalist, Veena Venugopal. I follow her on Twitter. And she made a funny remark saying that, no one may have seen an ape turn into a man, but I have seen many men turn into apes, which I think is brilliant. Amit Verma, who he has a column, he has a wonderful podcast, he's someone I met in Bombay this time, and just someone who, one learns a lot from. He used to run India's best, most well-known, well-loved blog called India Uncut. I mean, he made a point, who has seen an atom? If you have, does that mean it doesn't exist, right? So, this is it. But the really sort of alarming thing about this is just the fact that the BJP and Ram Madhav, who's from the RSS, has just stuck to his guns, and he's quoting some anti-evolution creationist website in the US called Evolution News. So just what the hell is going on here? I'll just turn it over to you now.
This guy, I'm on the same story. I think I've seen a picture of this guy. He looks like he's in his mid to late 50s, right? Huh. And what I'm trying to do is just riffing off the image that I've seen of him in Scroll. I'm trying to see, the time and the place that he was growing up in, right? Because this is a worldview that has been embossed in his mind through a series of events that he has seen. And I think fundamental to this was a kind of an unlimited exposure to television in the 1980s dealing with Hindu mythology. Mm. Because I think one of the consistent things that happened in Hindu mythology is things happen by magic. Mm. Things happen suddenly, right? Mm. There's Vikram Betal type narratives where, there's something bad happening and suddenly there is a magical moment and things change. Mm. So this poor fellow thinks that evolution is like an on-off button, right? Like by magic, somebody will come, tu bandar se aadmi ban gaya, right? On-off. So where he has fudged his lines is in his sense, monkey to man is a issue. There's no written proof or correspondence. What has slipped this person's mind because of his ignorance, is this is something that happened over a period of time. All the evidence proves that it happened over a period of time. And the reason that there wasn't an affidavit at one point and an oral testimony in one court, aside from the fact that there were no formal recording mechanisms, was it didn't happen through a lifetime, right? And I'm just trying to riff that, which bit of his upbringing and education has slipped? Where has the damage been done? And I'm struggling to find where you can join the dots, because when somebody has this kind of a worldview, almost like a magical realist worldview that, there is no proof, right? And there is no proof, as you were talking about the journalists, people who've commented, that can be extended in many directions, Rohit. Atoms being one case, but you can invert it and ask it on God as well, right? And, you know, we don't want to get into a massive discussion on religion and faith. So that's the serious angle. But I'm trying to look at his picture and think that, you know, what shaped this guy? This guy was in the police service, right?
He was an IPS officer. By the way, you know, he's also someone who's, I mean, he's been a hardcore Sanghi for a long, long time. From one of the people I follow on Twitter, I think he's Nikhil Wagle. Nikhil Wagle is a very courageous journalist, someone who has, you know, taken on the Shiv Sena and right-wing forces for many years. And he, I think, had shared the fact that this is a person who, you know, just a rabid kind of Sanghi bigot. So not just from, like, the knowledge, you know, side of the Sanghi mindset, but also the political side, someone who had threatened to, I think, slap Nikhil Wagle with a Tada case, for reporting certain things. But it's a very, very good question about, you know, the education system. And I think it speaks to, and this is the education minister, this is someone who's made his way past that IPS exam. So I think there are some very deep questions here about, you know, taking this in a more serious direction. And there is a serious issue. Beneath the folly, there is a serious, serious issue here. I think there's a very deep question about education in India. And then there's a deeper, even deeper philosophical question about, you know, what do we consider education and literacy? And I think that, you know, if he is an RSS man, I have no idea what his background is. But if he's someone who was socialized in those shakhas, then, you know, they are teaching this kind of alternate version of reality. And the most perverse irony in this is that they make these kind of daft remarks in the name of science. They use this pseudo-scientific vocabulary. They talk about proof. You know, it's claiming that, you know, the Vedas are scientific. And, you know, I had someone once tell me that, you know, the ways in which rishis sit and use their fingers, it just shows that they have, you know, telepathic powers and, you know, that India had a Pushpak Viman. So, you know, there's the kind of obscurantism or the kind of, you know, belief in superstition or whatever you want to call it, irrational, that rejects science altogether. It has its own validity. And that's usually what you find at, you know, people who are in villages, people who've had very little formal education, right? And those stories often, you know, take a very tragic shape that, you know, some poor woman being burnt on grounds of being accused of being a witch, families sacrificing their children or whatever. You know, the whole Jadu Tona stuff. Then there is this other kind of obscurantism which knows or is aware of scientific theories but will claim scientific status for all this kind of nonsense. And I think that comes from, you know, and that in some ways is almost more dangerous because, you know, you can in some ways empathize with a person who's not had formal education, who's, you know, just been oppressed and lived in poverty and not had the access to knowledge or support through their lives. But this is someone who's had, I'm assuming, every kind of privilege. And, you know, then choosing to believe in this, I think is there something sort of tremendously alarming about this. And then when you understand that or you realize that this is what the RSS is trying to do on a national level, it's very, very worrisome.
Yes, and I think let me just put that worry on a scale, right? When I look at these people in public office, I have no problems if a person who has a particular worldview in politics taking public office, because I've got a sliding scale of how Sanghi are you, right? At one end is Sanghi light, which is all you do is you're partial to Patanjali products and you like Chyawanprash, right? So that kind of Sanghi is peaceful boss. You know, you can come to power because he will take Chyawanprash, he will do his thing, but by and large, he'll be sensible. You go one step further down that ladder, that's the guy who's drinking cow piss, right? So my alarm bells don't ring at that because Desai drank his own piss, right? So it's okay. Chalo, let's go to next, level three. Level three is people start beating people up because of romantic choice. Then your alarm bells start going, right? I'm not quite sure what the fourth scale in the point is, but the fifth scale, monkey to man, is something that I've just put in place now. So from Chyawanprash to monkey man, that's the kind of scale of Hindutva activism. And the fear has to be at the end of the spectrum where, and I think people lynching people because of cows or romance is evil and it's bad. But in my book, it's not as dangerous as people holding high public office for public education who take a view that Monkey to Man happened by magic like a 1980s television serial.
Right. And that's an interesting point you make. I mean, it's a point that, you know, some may seem controversial, because what's happening is that the Monkey to Man, today the guy is making the point about Monkey to Man, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow he makes a similar claim about someone with a different identity. Yeah. Then what's happened is that instead of 10 or 12 or 20 incidences of violence, you've creating a basis for a whole society to engage in violence against an entire other segment of the same society. You know, it's about the educational foundation. And this is why the RSS, in my view, is so keen on, you know, capturing and transforming the educational setup. Because once you've got control of that, you start with these kind of, you know, sort of idiotic ideas. And then the next thing is that you are, you know, replaying or broadcasting on a vast scale ideas about, you know, Muslims or Sikhs or Christians. And then you really have the kind of basis for a conflagration, right? For massive violence.
And these are the kind of people, you know, who will say that, you know, cancer is curable by eating tulsi and honey. Right. You know, there are these different angles that they pull in. But for the moment, I think, you know, we've talked about this for a while. This Monkey to Man business is an awkward one. This guy is saying stupid things. We are completely standing and saying, we're calling it out for the stupidity that it is. But that's saying that I'm trying to do it, create a kind of tolerance threshold of, you know, how Sanghi are you? And I think in my mind's eye, I'm comfortable if you're a Chyawanprash consuming or Patanjali loving Sanghi, because that's an act of consumption. You know, it has got nothing, no impact on me on other citizens at a public day-to-day level. Right? You're doing your own thing, which that's is fine. Right.
Well, this is going in a slightly different direction, but maybe I can just share one thought that, you know, that we have always romanticized, in my view, Indian secularism as not being like Western style secularism, supposedly, which ideally is about separation of church and state and is about relegating your religious belief to the private sphere. Our idea has been that our secularism is in some ways unique and exceptional and wonderful because we sort of equally embrace all religions in the public sphere. Now, whether that happens or not is debatable. Certainly Hinduism gets, or a variety or a version of Hinduism gets, like, much more play in the public sphere. But I really wonder if, you know, that idea of really relegating religion to the private sphere, and if you want to call it, you know, a Christian model, a Protestant model, I'm fine with that too. If that really might be the solution, because, you know, personally, what you believe in, I mean, you want to, you know, have gobar with some pepper on it, you want to drink cow urine,
it's your business.
Whatever, it's your business, as long as it doesn't, really, it's fine, it's your business. Okay, now, if you're imparting it to your children, and, you know, they're under 18, and how that affects their behavior, when the state intervenes, whole other sort of can of worms, etc., you know, jurisdiction of state versus family, blah, blah. But by and large, it's your business. If it doesn't affect the way you're carrying your duty out, it's like fine. But, you know, when you're making these remarks publicly, you know, what's happening? And of course, there's, you know, what are you signaling? What are you signaling to other teachers? And you know, just a kind of national embarrassment and disgrace, I would say.
I would like to end on, I think it was Batman. With great power comes great responsibility, or some, it was a superhero comic boss. I don't know which one, but with the great power comes great responsibility. And somebody should tell this guy that, you know, you're a bloody minister. You know, you run the education and you're going monkey man magic. It's stupid. Anyway, on that note, Rohit, let's call it a day today. Chalo, take care.
Okay, man. Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.